Good morning and happy Sabbath. We all want Jesus to walk with us, right? There's no life without him. I just want to thank God, you know, being covered by his life and with his life means we're all family. We're part of the family of God, and so it's a privilege to be here with you this Sabbath morning. Our scripture reading is found in Romans 1, 16 and 17. And that's our scripture reading for the day. But for today, it also gives our overall theme of the message for today. But we will be spending most of our time in Daniel, because Daniel places the need for us to stand for God at a time when things are most difficult. So I'd like to read chapter 1, 16 and 17 again in your hearing, please. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith." Is your window open? Let's pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much, Lord, as it's been stated already this morning, for the gift of life. It's truly a privilege to be alive and have your breath in our lungs, Lord, this day. Father, I ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to fill this place and to be with each one of us, Lord. Life is challenging and difficult, but it is so worth living because you are with us. I ask that your Spirit will quicken our minds and will give us a deeper understanding, Lord, of this story in Daniel. I pray that you'll quicken our minds, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 6. You can turn there with me. Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, reads, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage." Getting past Belshazzar's feast, we see that Daniel, he is a man of God, he literally survives the change of empires. It's not easy to survive the change of leadership, and especially not in government. But Daniel survived. Verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Now, what happens when you as a Christian do what God says and God blesses you? What do people begin to do? They begin to dislike you. They get envious and jealous, and they want to bring you down. Let me submit to you that God has given you in his word three ways that he will exalt you. One of them is obedience. Jesus just saying, "I am going to follow what God says do." By doing that, you protect yourself. And by default, in this world, you will do better. The other one is returning a faithful tithe. You will be surprised, those who haven't tried God, as he says in Malachi 3. Even our young people who are not working yet, when you get birthday money or your allowances or some pocket change, you will be surprised what God will do when you give him 10% at least. Return it to the church. Give it back to God. It's God's to begin with. But the third way that we are blessed, you see how it said in Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. Isaiah tells us that if you keep God's Sabbath, he will cause you to rise upon the high places of the earth. That doesn't mean that we'll all have a hefty bank account or that we'll be doctors, but it does mean that in your sphere of life, whether a school teacher, a caregiver, a doctor, it doesn't matter, you will rise above the high places. I grew up in a home, by most people's standards, they would say that we were poor. My mother raised 5 children, for the most part, as a single parent. 2 boys and 3 girls. We started out in Watts, one of the poorest areas of Southern California. And we were raised in Compton, which was just a step above that. Not one of my brothers belonged to gangs. My sisters and I were not loose girls. And that's because my mother raised us to know and to fear God and her in a good way. All of her children have had careers. 3 of us have owned our own businesses. We're all respected in our circle of life. And this isn't boasting. This is the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. The odds of a single woman raising 5 children in Compton alone were stacked against her and us. There's no way these kids will be successful, is what most people thought. But there is power in being raised in a godly home and being raised following the principles of God. If, like Daniel, you are found to have an excellent spirit because you do the things God promises a return on, you will be blessed. There are things in my life that I never thought I would accomplish or experience, but I have. And I want to tell you that if you do what God says do, God will increase your territory. But of course, often when that happens, people don't like you. The Bible says in verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion for fault. For as much as he was faithful, what was he? Faithful. They tried to see if Daniel was pocketing money. They tried to see if Daniel was doing some sexually inappropriate. They tried to see if there was some dirt on Daniel, but they could find nothing on Daniel. Why could they not find anything on Daniel? Because Daniel was faithful. Neither was there any fault found in him. I pray that we are all like Daniel. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of God. This was not just a statement about Daniel. This is a statement of prophecy. You see, in the last days, when the church of God, you, God's remnant people, which is under attack right now from the inside and outside, it's always going to be under attack until Jesus comes. And the reason it's under attack is because there are people among the remnant of God who still believe, thus saith the Lord. From the Bible and the Bible only. There will be no trickery. There will be no scandals. And so they are going to seek to find fault in us concerning God's law. They won't have any problem with you if you're not keeping his law. They said, listen, the only way we can trap Daniel is on the law of his God. And John 15, 18, and 19, it says this, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world, it hates you. What we can see this in our world today. There is culturally a hatred against us, and it's going to get worse. Except eventually it will be those who keep all 10 of God's commandments, including the fourth commandment. And the vitriol, don't miss this, the cruel and bitter criticism that we see as marchers march against or for Palestine, the vitriol you see as Black Lives Matters marches up and down the streets, the cruel and bitter criticism you see in the Republicans against the Democrats or vice versa, the cruel and bitter criticism that we see in our world today will one day all be turned against those who believe in the Bible and the Bible only. The world will one day unite in its disdain for the commandment-keeping people of God. Daniel 6, going to verse 6. We read, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You see what they did? They set a trap for Daniel. And what's the trap? No one can ask anything of anyone except the king for 30 days. Which means Daniel would have to suspend his prayer life for 30 days. Why would they set this trap for Daniel? Because they know that Daniel doesn't just pray every day, but he prays multiple times a day. Think about this. If someone was setting this trap for you, would it work? Do you pray enough that this trap would actually be significant? Verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, and which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. His ignorance, his pride as king, he thought this was such an amazing thing. He signs it, but he didn't realize what they were doing. In verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel knew that it had been signed. Now let me ask a question here. Would it have been a sin for Daniel to shut the window and pray? Is it a sin for us to pray with our windows closed? No. We need to understand here that what Daniel does here is not be a cowardly Christian. Daniel is on the offensive. This is why Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. Why? Because Christians are not supposed to be in a defensive posture. We're to be in an offensive one. Daniel purposely leaves the window open so that they could see him pray, because he would not allow their hatred and their desire to trap him and to challenge his God to go untested. And so Daniel leaves his window wide open and he prays. You see, some of us, especially when we go around our family and friends who don't follow God, we shut our windows. Some of us, most of us, know someone that needs to know about the Jesus that we know, that we're learning about. We go around them and we don't say anything. Some of us have aunts and uncles, parents, close friends, co-workers that need to be told about Jesus, and we don't say anything. Rather than go home and open the window so that they can see that you serve the living God, you shut your window because you know that there's no sin in that. I was guilty of closing my window until God gave me a dream. In my dream, I was outside, and it was a beautiful day that day. The air was crisp. I looked up in the sky, and when I looked up, I could see what seemed to be thousands of people. And there was a sheet of glass separating me and them. Their faces were pressed down on the glass, and they were shouting at me. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I could tell that they were upset and they were screaming. So I kept straining, trying to hear what they were saying. And all of a sudden, their voices became clear. And they were saying, "You knew this was going to happen, and you didn't tell us. Why didn't you tell us this was going to happen?" And then I woke up. Now, I've been known to have some pretty strange dreams, but this one I couldn't shake. And for most of the day, when the dream came to my mind, I would talk with God and ask him, "What did that dream mean? Are you trying to tell me something?" As the day began to close, and I was talking to God again about this dream, it was just troubling me, the Holy Spirit came, and all of a sudden I could understand. God was telling me that there were Bible truths that I knew that I wasn't sharing, especially with my family. I'm the only Adventist in my family. My mother and my stepfather brought me into the church, but shortly after they divorced, they both left the church. And so I'm the only Adventist in our family. So my question is your window open? When it comes to your Christian walk, is it that you can come and fellowship and serve and speak out and share in Sabbath school, but when you leave here, your neighbors, family, co-workers will have no idea that you spent time with God, no idea that you claim to serve the living God? And I heard earlier that there's a series that's coming up. How many of your co-workers and neighbors and friends have received flyers and information inviting them to come and hear this message? This is a tough question. Is your windows open? Or are you trying to protect yourself from the ridicule, from being called names, fanatical, or whatever they call us today, those who are different than them, who choose to follow Jesus? Are you willing to open your window and be seen by the people closest to you who don't know Jesus? is your window open? Ask yourself. This is a rhetorical question. Daniel 6, going to verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication for God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of God or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered the king and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh petition 3 times a day. Now look at the difference between this king compared to King Nebuchadnezzar at the fiery furnace. Verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king fought to deliver Daniel. He liked him so much, but he couldn't. Verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, O now, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persian is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now, can you imagine the glee that was on their faces when they grabbed Daniel and walked him toward the den of lions? Can you imagine the joy that his enemies felt when he fell into the lion's den and they heard the thud, knowing that the lions hadn't eaten for days? Can you imagine the sorrow on the king's heart because he realized that he had been tricked into setting up his most faithful servant? I want to submit to you that in these last days, we are going to have to learn to be like Daniel, willing to stand in the face of everything. Why? Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Suffer persecution. And persecution comes in many forms. Oftentimes it comes by the hand of those closest to us. In the past 12 months, I've been attacked. My character, my motives, and when these attacks, this persecution comes, it cuts deep. The pain is stifling, mostly because it's coming from those who are supposed to love you, from those who you thought knew you. I can remember one of the first attacks when it came. It was a normal day, and I was minutes away from logging into a small group meeting when the phone rang, and it was two of my siblings on the phone. It took all of 2 seconds to go from hello to yelling, cursing, and accusing. And when I tried to speak, every word that I said was taken and twisted. Not only was I being attacked and accused, but one of my children were being attacked and accused. Mothers, you know, it's one thing for someone to come after you, but when they come after your child, that's another level of attack. The call went on until I just hung up the phone. I never made it to my small group. I found myself in my room with my door closed, curled up on my bed, crying out to God for understanding of what had just taken place. Fighting against my own flesh, the anger and the resentment that was rising up in me. I was totally confused. How could my sisters come at me with such venom? And the scripture came to my mind, be angry and sin not. The Spirit began to bring to my mind the scenes of Gethsemane, and I understood that I had been given a glimpse of what my Savior experienced that night in Gethsemane and the last week of his earthly life. Jesus' promise to us is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He sent his Spirit that day into my room and comforted me, strengthened me. I came out of my room broken and emotionally beaten, but in his strength, I was able to get up. It has been one attack after another over the past 12 months. On August the 28th, I again received a phone call, this time from my youngest daughter. And for 1 hour and 41 minutes, she spewed out at me every perceived mistake I had made and pain I had caused her while growing up. From her earliest memories up until my last visit, which was in June, her son, my grandson, he runs into the room. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of our brethren. I understand what spirit this was that was attacking me. Satan wanted to not just stab me in the heart, but once the knife was in, he wanted to turn it to ensure that I was dead. So the spirit of accusation jumped into my grandson, and he joins in with his mom, and he says, I've done the same things to him. The thing about our accuser, the devil, is he never spews out complete lies. There's always some truth mingled in with his lies, and I would even say a lot of truth. I made a lot of mistakes when raising my children, but I was the best mother and grandmother I knew how to be. I love my children, but I never defended or justified their wrong behavior. I wanted to help them see how in every situation of life, they had a responsibility to respond Christ-like. Someone else's bad behavior was no excuse for them to respond badly. You would think that I had had enough, but our enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So to make sure that I was emotionally destroyed and completely broken, Satan, using my daughter as his weapon, she proceeded to tell me that I had caused all of this pain in her life because of my traumas that I experienced in my childhood. She stated that I never dealt with my trauma. Instead, I used my religion incorrectly. Instead of getting help, the help that I needed, I delved into God. She said that I am misinterpreting scripture. There was no rock unturned during that 1 hour and 41 minutes. When I absolutely could take no more, with tears in my voice, I said to my daughter, I have to hang up. I have heard everything that you have said, but I have to hang up now. I was verbally and emotionally beaten. I hung up the phone and I wept. I sobbed. This call came out of nowhere. I was so beaten up that I couldn't speak, but I knew I needed help. I needed prayer. And I have been blessed to be surrounded by praying women. So because I couldn't speak, I picked up my phone and I began to text two of my prayer partners. And I said this, I have been on the phone for 1 hour and 41 minutes with my daughter, reliving how I have failed her. I don't know what to do. She's hurt and I'm broken. I don't know what to do. And I began crying. I continued crying. Someone here might be saying, there's no way I would let my child cause me to feel so guilty. But it wasn't guilt I was feeling. Satan studies each one of us. He knows our weaknesses and he knows our faults. He knows that I cling to the promises of God to redeem the moments lost when I should have had my undivided attention on my babies. Satan knows how many nights I have prayed over my adult children as I watch them struggle with things in life as a result of my mistakes. He was there listening as I asked my children to forgive me for those mistakes and the wrong examples that I lived in front of them. Trust me, he knows where to attack each one of us. Persecution is not always having our lives threatened. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us day and night. And we are told that when these attacks come, they will come from those closest to us. Our only protection is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus has promised that he will not let anything go to waste. He promises to use everything for our good, for his purpose, and for his glory. Romans 8:28, Psalms 119:90-91, Colossians 1:15-17, Hebrews 1:3 are just a few verses that tell us this. Like Daniel, God is preparing me to stand in these last days. And I believe, I trust that he is only going to allow to filter into my life the attacks from our enemy that he knows I can bear. Our Savior says to me, and he says to you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This was not the first and it will not be the last attack I suffer on my character, on my understanding of scripture, on my God's ability to forgive and to save me. And I'm telling you, this experience is just a sample of what we will go through in the last days. And we all know that these are the last days. It's not just that they beat you and they throw you into jail. That's what we expect. It's not that they come in and they take our homes. The first level, and maybe the most painful level, is that they will destroy your reputation. Because of social media, the internet, and the 24-hour news service, they can make you look like a monster. John 16:33 says this: these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Never forget when Jesus made the trip down the Via Dolorosa. When he went to the cross and died, he overcame the world. When he walked out of that tomb on the third day, and because he overcame in victory, no matter how bad your situation may seem, victory is yours and victory is mine. There's a song that says, don't wait till the battle's over, shout now. We know how, in the end, we're going to win. Ellen White says this: those who have moral courage to stand in opposition to the vices and errors of their fellow men, it may be of those whom the world honors, that will receive hatred, insult, and abusive falsehood. They may be thrust down from their high positions because they would not be bought or sold, because they could not be induced by bribes or threats to stain their hands with iniquity. Everything on earth may seem to inspire against them, but God has set his seal upon his work. They may be regarded by their fellow men as weak, unmanly, unfitted to hold office. But how differently does the Most High regard them? Those who despise them are the really ignorant. While the storms of calamity and reviling may pursue the man of integrity through life and beat upon his grave, God has the well done prepared for him. End of quote. I've been attacked this past year, and I've been attacked from multiple sources. And while it has hurt and tears have been shed, I have been comforted by the Spirit of God reminding me of his word. You will know them by their fruits. Your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more. I will never leave you nor forsake you. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. I can go on and on. God's word is full of promises to us. And I have learned that his word is sure. God says, let them say and do bad things about you and to you. Let them try and make you look a certain way. But if you do my work, victory will come with what you do. Why? In Revelation 3, verse 19, Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What the devil meant for evil towards me, God used because I need strengthening, because he is preparing me that I may stand in the time of trouble such as never was before. Family, we are in the last days. The last days are now. God says to us, buy of me gold and tried in the fire. Our Father says, I know the plans I have for you, and he wants to prepare us to fulfill those plans. He prepared Moses for 80 years. God prepared Joseph. David, while tending those sheep, was being prepared for the plan that God had for him. And God wants to prepare each one of us for the work that he has for each one of us in these last days. Count it all joy, family, when you encounter trials. God is preparing you. He's preparing us to stand the same way he prepared the three Hebrew boys to stand in the fire. Listen to this. This is what God is calling each of us to. Ellen White says, when the religion of Christ is most held in contempt, when his law is most despised, then shall our zeal be the warmest and our courage firmness be the most unflinching. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness, when the majority forsakes us, to fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few, this will be our test. Don't miss this last sentence. At this time, we must gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardness, and loyalty from their treason. I recently heard a pastor saying that someone had called him and was upset because he was being mistreated by the conference. This person told the pastor that if the church is treating you like this, I'm not going to pay my tithes anymore. Pastor told that man, He said, man, you know you haven't paid your tithe in 20 years. Don't use me as an excuse. There are things going on in our church that's a shame. But we ought to do as Christians, humble ourselves. Even if we feel treason has happened, we should become more loyal to the church. This is God's church. Jesus is the captain, and he will bring the ship into port. What people do instead, they get upset, and they want to beat up on the church. The madness that's going on, it is the shaking happening right now. Taken from a devotional, to be like Jesus, she says, when trial arises and seems unexplainable, we should not allow our peace to be spoiled. However unjustly we may be treated. And we know that our Savior was treated unjustly in the church. She goes on to say, let not passion arise by indulging the spirit of retaliation. We injure ourselves. We destroy our own confidence in God and grieve the Holy Spirit. There is by our side a witness, a heavenly messenger who will lift up for us a standard against the enemy. He will shut us up in with bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. Beyond this, Satan cannot penetrate. Did you hear that? There is a line that the devil cannot cross. He cannot pass this shield of holy light. God will only allow you to go through what you can bear. And that's what it was for Daniel. In verse 6, chapter 6, looking at verse 16, we read again. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. When we are in the trial, it is so easy for us to feel that we are all alone. Just as Elijah cried out to God, stating that he was the only one who had not bowed to Baal, what did God say to him? Yet I have 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed. God tells us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just as he sent Moses and Elijah to comfort Christ in Gethsemane, God will send us help. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. I told you I was so broken after I hung up the phone, but it was the Spirit of God who caused me to reach out to those two sisters. Text, voice messages came in, quoting scripture, lifting me up, encouraging me, speaking life into my heart. We're never alone. The king knew that God would be with Daniel. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet and with the signet of his lords. And the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? God allowed Daniel to go into the lion's den so that he could answer this question for the king. You are going to go through trials so that your friends, your families, the people closest to you can see God deliver you from lions. I've gone through what I've gone through so people can see God deliver me from lions. Revelation 12:11, we're told they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Can you imagine? Daniel was able to cuddle up with lions that night. God stayed the nature of those lions, and God will stay the nature of our enemies on earth if you are faithful to him. I challenge you, family, to have faith in the God that will deliver you. Verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. This relationship with God starts with you not being ashamed of the gospel. That's where it starts. 24. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had a mastery of them, and they broke all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus of Persia. I have learned, like the prophet of old said, God will restore unto you what the land at the locust had stolen. God has restored so much in my life. I am here to tell you that God is here with us. He has not left us alone. And Romans 1:16-17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto God, unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Develop your faith by submitting to the trials. God knows how high to turn up the temperature in our lives, that we might be tried in the fire and come out on the other side purified as gold. 3 weeks passed. I hadn't spoken with my daughter. Every time I thought to call her, I couldn't. So I continued to pray. During the third week, my phone rang and it was my daughter. Even though I didn't want to answer, I picked up the phone. The Holy Spirit said, "Talk to her." When I picked up the phone, no, she didn't apologize. But she said that she was on her way to pick up my grandson from work, and she had gotten a strong impression that she needed to call me. She said, "I wanted to tell you that I love you." And I believe that she does. Again, I know where and from whom that attack was coming. And yes, my daughter and I will have a conversation about that call. But in John 16:12, Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Spirit of God will tell me when it's time for me to have that conversation. And I will have it. In Galatians, we're called to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. Don't allow the enemy to distract you with his attacks, especially when they come from those closest to us. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He will never leave you. He will guide and direct you. Do not be ashamed. Open your windows and, like Daniel, keep your windows open. If it is your desire today that you be reconsecrate your life to God, and that your desire is to stand boldly for Him, if your declaration is, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, please stand with me as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, humbling ourselves before you, God. You are so loving. Your sole purpose, Father, is that we are with you for all eternity. Father, we trust our lives in your hands. My prayer, Lord, is that you will send your Holy Spirit to guide us, Father, to direct us, to give us your wisdom as these attacks come our way, Lord. Let us not be distracted from the purpose that you have set us on, Father. Let us in all things represent our Savior and his love towards even our enemies, Lord, that they might be drawn to you. Only by love is love awakened, Lord. Help us to die to this flesh and be alive to our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.